भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नस्तप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तिकी। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th canto, 19th chapter, and 22nd verse up to the 24th. So verses number 22 and 23 don't have a purport, so we'll read the verses and then we will recite text number 24.
Tribe kamai antusto vipapenan pina puryate navasha sametene saptadvipavarachaya.
So this is Lord Vamandev speaking to Bali Maharaj. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of the 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others.
Sapta dvipa dipatayo nipa vinyagayadaya athai kamer gata nantam chasnaya etina shutam.
We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieved proprietorship over the 7 dvipas, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. So now we will do a text for 24, so everybody can repeat.
Yadri chayo papanena,
yadri chayo papanena,
santushto vartate sukham,
santushto vartate sukham,
nasantusta stribhir loke ajitatmo pasaditaya.
Yadrichaya, as offered by the Supreme Authority according to one's karma.
Upapanena,
by whatever is obtained.
Santustha,
one should be satisfied.
Vartate,
there is.
Sukham,
happiness.
Na,
not.
Ash santustha,
one who is dissatisfied.
Tribhi lokai,
even by possessing the 3 worlds.
Ajitatma,
one who cannot control his senses.
Upasaditai,
even though obtained. So a translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. So everybody can repeat. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. So purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If happiness is the ultimate goal of life, one must be satisfied with the position in which he is placed by providence. This instruction is also given by Prahlad Maharaj. Sukham maindriyam kam aditya deha yogena dihinam sarvata labete devadyatadukha mayatnahatha. My dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor. Just as we obtain distress. So this is from the Bhagavata Puran, 7th canto, 6th chapter, 3rd verse. This philosophy is perfect in regard to obtaining happiness. Real happiness is described in Bhagavad Gita 6:21. Sukham atyanti kam yatad buddhi grayam atindriyam veti yatra cha na chaivayam sita chalati tatvata. In the spiritually joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. One has to perceive happiness by the super senses. The super senses are not the senses of the material elements. Every one of us is a spiritual being. Aham Brahmasmi. And every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are covered, now are covered by material elements. And because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses. The real senses, however, are within the material covering. Within the covering of the material elements are the spiritual senses. Sarvodpadi vini muktavatat paratvan tvinam nirmalam. When the spiritual senses are uncovered by these senses, we can become happy. We can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is thus described. Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. When the senses are engaged in devotional service to Rishikesh, then the senses are completely satisfied. Without this superior knowledge of sense gratification, one may try to satisfy his material senses, but happiness will never be possible. One may increase his ambition for sense gratification and even achieve what he desires for the gratification of his senses. But because this is on the material platform, he will never achieve satisfaction and contentment. According to the Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without special endeavor. And should cultivate spiritual consciousness, then he will be happy. The purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. People who do not have scientific spiritual knowledge mistakenly think that the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are escapists trying to avoid material activities. In fact, however, we are engaged in real activities for obtaining the ultimate happiness in life. If one is not trained to satisfy the spiritual senses and continue in material sense gratification, he will never obtain happiness that is eternal and blissful. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.1 therefore recommends Tapo Divyam Putrakaryena Satvam Shudhyed Yasmad Brahma Shokyam Twamanantam. One must practice austerity so that his existential position will be purified and he will achieve unlimited blissful life. Om Jnananda Mirandasya Jnananjala Salakaya Chakshuran Militan Yenathasme Shri Gurave Nama Namo Yom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Krishna Swamiti Namine Namo Yom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So with the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, we would like to please the Supreme Lord by saying a few things and purify our existence. Especially Mahamantra Prabhu, it's so nice to see him and like to seek your blessings. It's very easy to understand we are not this body. Because when we were born, we had a baby body. Do we still have the same body? No. But are we the same person? Yes, excellent. Even school children understand this. It's very simple. We cannot be the body. The body has changed. And over this lifetime, the body will change many, many times. So if we're not the body, what are we? Some people claim we are the mind. But if you look at if you assess the mind, see the mind, watch the mind, the mind will often tell us to do things which we think, no, this is not right. So there's a higher self than the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that we are a spirit soul. We are a part and parcel of God, eternal living entity. And we, the spirit soul, will never die. This body will finish. One day, it will finish. Guaranteed. But the spirit soul will continue to exist. Its existence depends on two things. One, its karma, what the living entity is doing, especially in the human form of life. But there's a second element, our consciousness. What are we thinking? What are we doing? But what are we thinking as well? Our consciousness is very, very important. If our consciousness is that of an animal consciousness, sleeping, eating, mating, defending, then we will continue in this material world, in different categories of life, depending on our consciousness. So if we like to sleep, that's what we do, that's what we think about anytime there's a little opportunity during japa, have a little nap. Perhaps Krishna, through the agency of material nature, in our next life will give us a body which is suitable for sleeping, because that's what we want to do. That's what we're doing, that's what we're thinking about, that's where our consciousness is at. Then we will get a body suitable for that consciousness. Maybe a body of a bear, a polar bear, sleeps for 6 months a year. Another example, if our consciousness is, we have a beautiful body, we'd like to show it off. Maybe Mother Nature will give us the body suitable in our next life to do that, to continue with that consciousness, the body of a tree. For thousands of years it can stay naked. That's our consciousness, that's what we'll get. We are extraordinarily fortunate. We've achieved human state of life. In this human state of life, we can purify our consciousness. We can make our consciousness to the level of spiritual consciousness, to connect again with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this mind, we need to understand, can degrade us, or it can make us advance towards a spiritual reality. Generally, our minds are uncontrolled. It is said that we have about 60,000 thoughts that enter our head, enter our mind, every single day. And the vast majority of those thoughts are negative. It said between 80 and 95 or 100% of our thoughts are negative, which pull our consciousness down. Experiment for yourself. When a thought comes, check it out. Is this positive or is it negative? Generally speaking, our thoughts will be worrying about the future and lamenting about the past. Those are the two usual contents of our thoughts. When a negative thought comes into our mind, it's important to eradicate that negative thought immediately. You can replace it with a positive thought. However, devotees would like to replace it with a devotional thought. So sometimes we may get a thought in our heads. Somebody has done something to us, said something to us, and constantly we will be, throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the months, thinking about what that person has said. And that negativity will have an impact on our consciousness. So the idea is that we actually turn that negative energy into spiritual energy. How do we do that? How do we do that? By thanking the Lord. Gratitude. Thank you for sending this person to reduce my ego. Thank you for sending this person who has insulted me so that I've finished that bit of karma. Gratitude. We change the negative thought into a spiritual thought. Consciousness is very important. We have the opportunity to improve our consciousness, to purify our consciousness in this human form of life. We have a little bit of a formula. We call it the ABCD of, you could say, spiritual life. It's not all encompassing, but it's a beginning. It's good for preachers, if you're a preacher, and it's also good if you're listening for the first time to understand how can we improve our consciousness. Do you want to hear it? The ABCD. It's simple, it's powerful, it's effective. Okay. A is association. Association. Devotees will be very familiar with this term, association. We should have nice devotee association. The impact of bad association can be devastating. I'll give you one example. Kern was the son of Suryadev, the sun god. No ordinary personality. And his mother was Kunti. So he actually had great pedigree. He was a righteous personality. But one moment's association with the adharmic Duryodhan completely destroyed him. Even Lord Krishna tried to persuade him from his commitment to Duryodhan, but he could not dissuade him. This is the impact of bad association. Even one moment can finish us. On the other side, one moment of a devotee's association can liberate us. Mugrari was a hunter. One moment's association with Narad Muni completely purified his existence, purified his consciousness from a hunter consciousness to the consciousness of a person who wouldn't even step on an ant. Right? Modern day times, about 1,000 years ago, there was King Ashok. He was ruthless. Any battle, he would completely finish his enemies. One time in a battle, they had won. They had killed the opposition, every one of them pretty much. He saw a saint in the middle of the battlefield giving water to somebody who was injured. And he was amazed. He was thinking, what is he doing? He went to the sage and he asked him, what are you doing? The sage said, you like to kill? I like to give life. That one moment completely changed the consciousness of Ashok. He asked the sage, where is this teaching come? Who is your teacher? Buddha is my teacher and he has taught me life is sacred. So Ashok learned the principles of Buddhism and spread it throughout Asia. One moment's good association completely transformed the consciousness of an evil king into a preacher. So association is very important. In devotee terms, we've been given guidelines about association by Rupa Goswami in the Upadesh Amrit. He says, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And he says, bhajana vigyan, ananya, anya, ninda, adi. He said, one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service, whose heart is completely devoid of propensity to criticize others. So if our devotee association may not be so strong, perhaps we are associating with devotees who, okay, it doesn't matter if you don't come to Mangalati, don't worry. You don't have to chant your rounds. Oh, you can chant your rounds when you're driving, no problem. You don't have to read Srila Prabhupada's books, you already know it all. If our devotee association isn't strong, then that may not help us towards our spiritual goals. But if we can find a devotee who is very fixed in his service, in his determination, in his focus towards the Supreme Lord, grab hold of the lotus feet of that devotee and don't let go. Don't let go. Because that devotee's association will drive us towards our spiritual goal. Important to have very strong devotee association. So you can consider where your association level is at. Am I associating with people who will elevate my consciousness? Or is that not the case? We've come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Don't waste this fantastic opportunity. There are some extraordinarily fixed devotees. I'll give you an example of one whose appearance is today. Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda Prabhu was an associate of Jiva Goswami. He was a disciple of Jiva Goswami. And he is the founder of Radha Shyamsundar Temple near Loi Bazaar. Very beautiful temple with such glorious deities. So his associates were Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. They were the trinity of fantastic devotees. And they would preach. They would distribute books. That was the first distribution of books that took place. And Shyamananda was such a fantastic devotee, Radharani herself came and blessed him. One time, Radharani lost her ankle bell in Vrindavan. And Shyamananda found it. He was actually known as Dukhi Krishna at that time. And when he touched the ankle bell, he was surcharged with spiritual energy. He knew this is something special. So Gopi came and asked him for it. Have you found something? An ankle bell? Yes, I found. Who does it belong to? It belongs to my mistress. Can I have it, please? So Shyamananda, or Sri Krishna Das at that time, he was very clever. He said, I will only give it to the person it belongs to. He knew this was special. So the gopi, who actually was Vishakha, went to Radharani. And together they came to Sri Krishna Das. And Radharani asked for the anklet. And Shyamananda knew this is somebody extraordinarily special. So she blessed him with a special tilak and blessed him many different ways. So this is strong devotee association. These devotees, we have to search them out and hold on to their instructions, to their blessings. So association is one, very important. In the West we preach, don't watch television, not so applicable for devotees. Don't play PlayStation or Xbox, it's something that really destroys the minds of the children and the adults as well. Mobiles, everybody has mobile, smart mobiles with games on it. Devotees should not be playing on games. And we encourage those who are not devotees to also limit the time. We don't say don't play, but we just limit the time. Understand what you're doing now is not going to elevate your consciousness. It's going to degrade you. So if you want to spend that time, actually just limit it. At least limit it. Understand this is not going to help me. B is for books. We have been given the greatest gifts by Srila Prabhupada. He spent so much time and effort, blood, sweat and tears, producing these extraordinary Prabhupada purports, Bhakti Vedanta purports. Devotees, when he was there, used to distribute these books, and he used to ask them, yes, you've distributed my books, I'm really pleased. Have you read my books? Have you read them? And devotees would often answer, no, Maharaj, no Prabhupada. We've been busy distributing. I've written them for you. So these books are extraordinary books. And Lord Krishna, he explains in the last chapter of the fourth verse, Tasmat Agyanam Sambhutam Hiti Stam Jnanam Sinatmana. Therefore the doubts which has arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. What does this knowledge do? It elevates our consciousness, purifies the consciousness, gives us knowledge of who we are, what is our duty, who is the Supreme Lord, what is our connection with that Supreme Consciousness? How is our consciousness to be fixed to the Supreme Consciousness? This is the power of these books. There was one devotee, no, one army man. He was with the Croatian army. And he was a trained killer. He liked to shoot people. Even when the war stopped in Croatia, he continued killing. Because that's what he was trained to do. That's what his consciousness level was at. One day, he approached a man and he said, I'm going to shoot you. Just to see the look of fear in his eyes. But the man had no fear. He said, "You cannot kill me." This man, the army man, was shocked. He said, "What do you mean I can't kill you? I've got a gun, it's pointing at your chest. I just pulled the trigger, you're dead. You can't kill me." And the man showed no fear. So the army man put his gun down and he asked this man, "Why do you not have any fear?" "Because you can't kill me. That's why I have no fear." "What do you mean I can't kill you? You can't kill the self. You may be able to destroy the body, but I will never die." So this army man was perplexed and he asked the man, "What is this philosophy? Please explain it to me. I'll write to understand." So the man pulled out a Bhagavad Gita, "As it is by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai." And he gave him the Bhagavad Gita, explained the philosophy. Years later, that army man was in Chopati temple, sleeping with a devotee, same room. He'd become a devotee, converted. So they were sleeping in the room. At night there were many mosquitoes in the room, and the devotee said, "We should destroy the mosquitoes." And the army man said, No. "Don't interfere with any living entity. I've learned my lesson." So from a man who was killing, enjoyed killing, he wouldn't even harm a mosquito. The impact of these books, this philosophy, is transformational. There's so much information out there. We can read many, many books. Nowadays, access to the internet is so easy. We can be lost in the news. Nowadays, the news is about the election. In England, it's about Brexit. You could spend all day, waste all your energy, your time, and degrade your consciousness. I'm not saying don't read the news. Devotees like to keep up to date, and we should keep up to date so we know what's going on in the world outside. But limit the amount of time we spend on catching up on the news. Limit the time, because it's not going to improve our consciousness. News is simply all things that have happened to new people. That's all it is. So let's not waste our time. These books, this information will transform our consciousness. So we should read. Prahlada Nandan Maharaj spent 1 week with us in the UK. And it was extraordinary to see how a Prabhupada disciple, he would read Prabhupada's book any moment he had, whether we were in the car or at home, in between satsangs, in between any time at all. He had a system of reading Prabhupada's books. He would read various chapters from the Gita, then the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Srimad Bhagavatam, and he stuck to that every single day. So from a devotee point of view, it's good if we can have a structured system of learning, so our consciousness always continues to evolve and become purified more and more. That's B. C is chanting. As devotees, we all know the importance of chanting. Cheto darpanam marjanam. Lord Chaitanya has given wonderful verse, the first of his Shishaksam prayers, explaining the benefits of chanting. The holy names are so important. Sometimes as devotees, we get into a little bit of a rot. We think, "Oh yeah, I'm chanting okay." But maybe we're just uttering some words, and maybe that may have some impact, some small benefit. But how much more benefit we will have if we chant with full attention, with full focus, and with our heart. The holy name is so powerful. Naam naam akari bahuda nija sarva saktis. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you have invested all of your transcendental shakti, your potency into the holy name. Lord Krishna possesses so many things. He says, Aham Sarva Suprabhava, I am the creator of the material and the spiritual universe. He has the most incredible devotees. He has everything. But He's given us His most valuable possession, the holy name. Why is it the most valuable? Sarva Shaktis. He's put all of His transcendental energy into the holy names. These holy names of Krishna are no different from Krishna. In fact, He even explains they are more powerful than Krishna Himself. The holy name of Krishna is even more powerful than Krishna. Isn't that inconceivable to understand? How can we possibly understand this? The holy name of Krishna is more powerful than Krishna Himself. When we are chanting Krishna's name, if we are fully conscious, we will immediately be liberated. The chanting of the name of the Lord is so important, especially in this Kali Yuga. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatyanyata. There's no other way. So there's an example of the power of the holy name. Lord Ramachandra. In the past time when the monkeys were making the bridge, they would write the name of Ram on the stones and place those stones on the ocean and they would float. So Lord Ram, he said to himself, I'll help you. I'll help the monkeys. He picked up a big stone and he threw it on the ocean. He said to himself, I don't need to write the name of Ram, I am Ram. But the stone sunk. It did not float. The Lord was very embarrassed. Hope nobody saw me. But Hanuman is very observant. He's the greatest servant of the Lord. And Hanuman came to him and said, my Lord, you cannot do this. Why, Hanuman? You're writing my name. And I am Ram. I put the stone. No, Lord. Out of great humility, he said to Ram, your name, Ram, is more powerful than you are. So this is the power of the holy name. And also Hanuman said, whoever you throw away will always sink. And he knelt at the feet of Ram and said, please let me always be engaged in your service at your lotus feet. And Lord Ram granted him that wish. So if we chant the holy names with feeling, Draupadi, when she was calling out to help, for help in that court of great kings, her husbands, nobody was there to help. She was fighting with the Dhritarashtra and holding the sari. And Satyabhama was petitioning Krishna, go and help her. No, I can't. She's not called me. Draupadi was still fighting with Dushasana, one hand on the sari. Satyabhama was saying, she's my friend, go and help her. Can't do it. Too late. She put her hands up, crying out, go, Govinda! Tears in her eyes. Krishna said, now I can go. She's called me and I can ride on the chariot of her tears. And immediately he was there supplying unlimited sari. So when we chant with feelings, with our heart, chant the name of Krishna, we will make swift advancement. Our consciousness will become purified very, very quickly. And Krishna will reciprocate. Today is Balaram Rasayatra. So when Krishna left, the gopis were in great separation. They were missing Krishna so much. So Balaram came. And for 2 months, Balaram would spend time with the gopis and do Ras Leela every night. Krishna reciprocates. This is the blessing of the Supreme Lord. He's very kind-hearted. So this, that's A, B, C. And then D. D can mean a few things. Generally in the West we say diet, because generally the West is inclined towards meat eating in a big way. Although nowadays the movement of veganism has grown substantially. And it's always this case, India, Bharat follows the West. So we know a lot of Bharatiya people who eat meat. It's shocking in India. But hopefully they'll soon follow the West and turn to veganism. At least there'll be less meat, less animals being slaughtered. As devotees, we are very fortunate. We have access to Krishna in the form of prasadam. So when we honor prasad, we are taking Krishna. We're taking Krishna. Oh, on the books point, just wanted to say, we must also distribute. It's a blessing that we've got this knowledge. We also have to give the knowledge. My spiritual master always used to say, take Krishna, give Krishna. So books, and we've had so much experience. One Muslim boy, man actually, was 35 years old. My wife, Jayanti Devi, she distributed a book to him, Bhagavad Gita. And he gave a nice donation. Few weeks later, he came to the temple. He said, I read your book. I've been looking for this all my life. He started chanting. He does 12 rounds every single day. He goes to the temple every single day. This is a Muslim fellow. These books are extraordinarily powerful. We are lucky to have these books. So let's study them. Also, let's distribute them. By distributing, Krishna will give us the knowledge as well. What does he say? Yaidim paramam guyam. One who distributes this knowledge to the devotees, for him devotional service is guaranteed. And the next verse he says, there's no servant more dear to me than one who shares this knowledge. So books is very important. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. So D, diet, we talk about... For devotees, like Maharaj was saying yesterday, devotees should be careful. Even when it comes to prasadam, not eating too opulent prasadam. Our bodies, we have to take care of, because we want to serve the Supreme Lord for as long as possible. So prasadam in the form of gulab jamus and pizzas, it's all fine. It's all Krishna prasad. But we should understand that a simple diet, perhaps according to the Vedic, Ayurveda policy, will help us sustain this body longer so that we can improve our consciousness more and more, so that ultimately we develop that consciousness which is Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada made this movement the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want to improve our consciousness, purify our consciousness to the level it becomes Krishna conscious. But in this context, I was going to suggest D can be deity, the power of the deity. We are so fortunate to have Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Lalita Vishaka Radha Shyam, Shri Shri Gonitha, Srila Prabhupada. We can take their darshan. And we can actually directly associate with the Supreme Lord. The example here is of another personality who was born, who's taken his appearance today, Vamsi Vandana. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was present when he was born. And he was actually an incarnation of the flute of Lord Krishna. And he was very much attached to the service of Vishnupriya, the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, there was immense separation And both Vamsi Prabhu and Vishnupriya decided to fast to death because of that separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before them and he said, "No, what you are thinking is not right. Instead, worship my deity." And that deity, and that's what they did. They worshipped the deity. And they got much satisfaction from doing that. That deity is still worshipped in Navadvip. And it's called Dharmeshwar, something like that. So, this is an idea of how to improve our consciousness. This is the ABCD. A stands for? B? C? And D? Diet and deity. We said deity because I wanted to bring in this pastime of Vamsi into this, because it's his appearance day to day. What these, this is all a wonderful process to help our consciousness evolve and develop, for turning it from an animal consciousness or even a human materialistic consciousness, enjoying our material senses consciousness, to getting to know our spiritual senses. And this is what Prabhupada talks about in his purport. And especially I wanted to just read the last one of the paragraphs. One may increase his ambition for sense gratification and even achieve what he desires for the gratification of his senses. But because this is on a material platform, he will never achieve satisfaction and contentment. So the idea is, we try to improve and purify, evolve our consciousness by as much help as we can get through the association of devotees, through the knowledge, through the chanting, through our diet, through the darshan of the deities. And slowly, slowly we make progress and become fully Krishna conscious even in this very life, because we don't know what's going to happen after this life. So any questions, any comments, any corrections? Yes.
My question is, like in the purport, the verse talks about satisfaction.
Yes.
And in purport, Prabhupada has also mentioned that satisfaction is a brahmanical quality, spiritual temple. So my question is that we also hear that Kalo Shukra Sambhava. In Kali Yoga, everyone is going to Shukra. So, and in Parmashram system that we hear, that according to qualities we have, full and Kama, we are different, and somebody has grammatical qualities and it may be mixed up. So how to understand that what we are actually and how we are going to engage ourselves in the service of Krishna? So if we are not completely grammatical or maybe to some degree, so how we can we completely?
That's a really good question. Thank you for asking the question. I'm not sure if I'm qualified to answer the question, but from my experience, Vanashram is very important. And what these books do is actually transform. We actually have Shudra-like qualities. As soon as we're born into this world, unless we're born into the family of devotees, fixed devotees, generally, we will have a Shudra mentality because this is the age of Kali. Now we've come into the Hare Krishna movement, we're extraordinarily fortunate. Prabhupada didn't have enough time to establish a proper Varnashram system. There was a limit to how much he could do in the time he had. What he gave us was the absolute essence of spirituality. So we have to develop this Varnashram system so that we can organize our society in a more systematic way where we can involve more aspects of the greater society into Krishna consciousness. In terms of our own specific natures, this is why it is important to have strong devotee association. Because devotees will guide you. They will see your natural occupation, if you like. They will assess your propensities and they will guide you towards enhancing your service to Krishna through your natural propensities. It's very good to, if we are naturally good at something, it's very good if that is cultured so that it's a natural process of devotional service through our own tendencies. Not that we just make up something, but through the guidance of the advanced devotees, the spiritual master, we will be able to make great progress in spiritual life. Ourselves, to determine whether we are Brahminical or Kshatriya, we may get that assessment wrong. It's safe to assume we are Shudras. Very safe. Then we got some platform of humility. From humility, we can gain immense knowledge. Because if we're willing to listen, we will learn. Does that make sense? And I haven't completely answered your question, but...
One more point in that is, like in ISKCON, we come in contact with ISKCON, and many of us, we enter Brahmachari Ashram. During the Brahmachari Ashram, we are free to go to any department. We can change departments,
right.
Two, three departments in one year. So it doesn't matter. So, but we focus more on sadhana.
Right.
And but when we enter Grahastha Ashram,
right.
Then we have to generate money.
Right.
And it's a big challenge.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We cannot do the things which we like. Which we were going to Brahmacharya Ashram.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
In Grahastha Ashram, we have to create money.
Yeah.
So that becomes a challenge. And then all these questions come. Because one has to go through the struggle. What I am and how I should earn money and how I should satisfy Krishna. These questions are constantly coming to
mind. And this is a challenge throughout the society. And until we, I think, have a proper varnashram system with, you know, structured layers, where as a brahmachari we are trained. If we're going to be a grihastha, then we have some training. You're going to be a grihastha. Not that you just, one day you're a grihastha, the next day you're married, suddenly you're out of the temple, you have to earn a living. That's a challenge, no doubt about it. But we have to grow as a society and develop these systems so that we can help the grahasthas. And then the grahasthas need to go into what's the next ashram? Vanaprastha. That is like Maharaj was saying yesterday. Fantastic class. He said, after grahastha, suddenly you've got children. Suddenly you've got grandchildren. As grihastha, are you going to continue to look after your grandchildren? You're supposed to take vanaprastha, but suddenly you become very attached to your grandchildren. But we haven't developed the vanaprastha system so much. We've got grihastha, we got brahmachari ashram, we got grihastha who were thrown into grihastha ashram from the brahmachari. But from grihastha to vanaprastha, this is a big gap. So all of these systems need to be put in place. Slowly. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu has given a giving example of a hunter Nidali, and one devotee you said he was an army man and he doesn't want to be mosquitoes also. But when you are in the seva, when you are doing some seva, so in that seva you have to, somewhere you have to chastise someone, somewhere you have to see something, and somewhere you say we like the monkeys and this one. So many things we have to do. So how we can implement things which you give the example of a devotee, and it doesn't want to be mosquitoes, but then we have to do all these things because we are
Yeah, I know what you mean. sometimes in the mode of transcendental passion, we're engaged in service. It's like when we're driving somewhere and you're driving fast, you know, you might be killing so many insects. You can see the screen is splattered with insects being killed. And you're thinking, have I actually caused so many living entities to die? What to do? Sometimes in our service, you're put in a situation where you have these questions. And I think all we can do is pray to the Lord, please allow me to be humble and continue in my service to Krishna so that I don't do any harm to any living entity. Please allow me to. Because even walking, we'll be stepping on so many ants. It's just one of those things. But I think this adopting the mood of humility and this consciousness that I don't want to harm anybody in your service. If I do, please do forgive me, my dear Lord. If I chastise somebody, I think if you chastise somebody, you know, you can always say, look, I don't really want to do this. My spiritual master used to say that, you know, he used to be really heavy, you know, Maharaj. Whew. But he used to always say, I don't want to do this. This is my duty. And then he'd give us a hard time. But at least he's explained. And you know, he's telling you off because he likes you. He loves you. But yeah, it's a good point. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Purana Ki Jai.